have a great deal of confidence in the things that I'm about to say. I've given it much thought and prayer. And I even encourage you to perhaps get the tape and play it again. And maybe keep it on file. Share it with someone else. But most of the letters that I receive and discussions which I have with people who have some doubts and questions about their interest in Christ. Do you hear what I'm saying? People who have sincere doubts about their interest in Christ, about their saving faith, and some fears. Most of the letters, most of them, practically all of them, or discussions I have, or people coming to me. I'm talking about those who know Christ, who love Christ, who are truly believers in Christ. These doubts and fears have nothing to do with their faith in Christ. Most of the time, the word faith is not mentioned. It has nothing to do with their love for Christ or their sincere belief in who He is and what He did and why He did it and where He is now. Those things are not usually discussed in the letter or do not come up in the discussion. I sometimes try to force the discussion to proceed this way. Do you believe the Word of God? Do you believe this is God's Word? Do you? Yes, the person replies. Yes, I believe that's the Word of God. I know that's the Word of God. I have a great deal of awe and respect and confidence in the Word of God. I treasure the Word of God. Yes. Well, do you believe salvation's of the Lord? Do you? Salvation's of the Lord in its entirety, Alpha and Omega. The salvation of the Lord in its origination, in its execution, in its application, in all stages of its glorious revelation. Is it of the Lord? Preacher, you know I believe that. You know I believe that as much as you do. Well, do you believe that God Almighty gave Christ to be the Redeemer of sinners, that He has always been the Redeemer of sinners? From the covenant of mercy in all eternity, He's the surety of that better covenant? Well, certainly. And that throughout the Old Testament, every promise, prophecy, picture, pattern, type is Christ? You believe that rock's Christ? That Passover lamb's Christ? Of course I do. Of course I do. By God's revelation, I believe it. That He is the Redeemer. He's that prophet. He's that glorious priest. He is that king like David. I believe that. Well, do you believe Christ is our righteousness? Now, come on. He is. He's not a part of it. He's colon all of it. Is that what you believe? That the Lord is my righteousness. That by His divine, perfect, God-accepted obedience, He wrought out a perfect holiness. Do you believe that? He is my righteousness and I have no other. My works and deeds are but filthy rags in the sight of a holy God, but Christ is my righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu is my song. And I believe He's the only sin offering. Do you believe He's the only sin offering? Do you believe that He in His own body bore our sins on the tree and brought us to God? Do you believe that? Do you believe He died that God may be just and justifier? Well, of course I believe that. I wouldn't come here you preach. Because that's all you preach. Of course I believe that. You believe the blood maketh atonement for the soul? Do you really? The blood cleanseth us. The blood maketh atonement for the soul. The blood literally puts away our sin, makes us at one with God. Do you? I believe that. Tom Harding, I believe that. Do you? It's the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. God help me to never be ashamed of the blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And God Almighty is enabled by the blood of Christ to be both just and justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. You believe that, Mike? Do you really? I believe that. I believe I'd die for that. I believe I would. I'm going to preach it. If we lose ever Every member of this congregation, next Sunday, I'm going to preach the blood of Christ. You believe he's the only mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus? That you dare not even mention another mediator. You dare not even breathe the name of any other mediator. He has no competitor. He has no rival. He reigns at the right hand of God. Our forerunner Christ has entered within the veil, and our works have nothing, absolutely nothing to do with our acceptance with God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You want to be like him? Desperately. Well, what's your problem? What's your problem? Why can't you rest and rejoice in Christ? What's your problem? Why are you mumbling and running around saying, I don't know whether I'm saved or not? Well, I tell you, preacher, I have such awful thoughts. That's what they tell me. You just don't know what I think. I bet I do. I bet I do. And preacher, sometimes reading the Bible and praying seems to be such a chore sometimes. I can pick up the newspaper and with a cup of coffee and sit there and read and stay wide awake. But I don't know. I just pick up the Bible and it just, I don't know. It becomes a chore and a burden. And prayer, it's so hard for me to pray over 5 minutes. And I worry, Pastor. I worry. I really do. I worry. I just be honest with you. I worry. I worry about my children. I worry when they're not home. I worry when I'm at work and they're at school. And I worry about my children. I worry about my home. I worry about my job. I worry that they're going to shut down the mill, you know. I'm going to be without a place to work. I just worry. And trials upset me. One of the children gets sick and I get upset. And I tell you this, preacher, my spiritual growth is so slow. I hear what you say, and I hear what you read, and I hear what you preach, and I believe what I hear, but I can't seem to remember what I hear. Somebody asked me a little while later, what was it he preached on? I forgot. But I believed it. You don't have that problem, do you? And I wrestle with selfish thoughts. Pride. I just can't seem to help it. I'm not always concerned about other people like I ought to be. I'm really, if you be honest about it, I'm concerned about me and my family. You got a problem with that? And preacher, I'm sensitive. I get my feelings hurt. And sometimes I feel like God has singled me out, me more than anybody else, for trouble and trials and disappointments. I feel, why me? And preacher, my imaginations and my thoughts, they're just not always on Christ. And I could go on and on and on. Well, I have two questions for you. If what I said at first, you say, that's me. And if what I said secondly, you say, that's me. I have two questions for you. Will you listen to two questions? The first question is this. Aren't you glad salvation's in Christ and not in you? Huh? Aren't you glad? Boy, I tell you, if that's you, if when I was reading all that other, I worry, I fret, I'm sensitive, I lose my temper, I think sinful thoughts, I can't read the word. If that's you, aren't you glad salvation, not by works? Whew, you'd be in a mess. You would. Not me now, but you would. That's what some people think. You're a preacher. You don't have any problem. No, I don't have any problem. Won't you swap places with me? You be the preacher. Aren't you? That's what I'm saying. Aren't you glad then, if all this is so, aren't you glad that salvation is not in work, not in merit? Aren't you glad it's in Christ? If salvation and acceptance with God rested in my holiness, I'm a dead duck. If salvation rested in my devotion and my consecration and my dedication, I'm a goner, are you? But thank God salvation's in Christ. That's what I've been trying to preach for 35 years. If Christ delights to show mercy to the miserable, then I'm a candidate. If Christ delights to show grace to the guilty, then I'm in. If Christ delights to forgive the foolish, I'm number one. If Christ delights to redeem the repentant and the broken-hearted rebel, then I'm going to glory. Let's read a couple of scriptures. Psalm 130. I want you to listen to this. Psalm 130. Now, if the Lord ever turns sinners away, then I'd say we're all gone. But if he still delights to save sinners, which he said he does, he said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. I came into the world to save sinners. Paul said, of whom I'm chief. Listen to Psalm 130. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Depths of what? The depths of human depravity and human need and human sin. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ear be attentive to the voice of my supplication. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquity, Lord, who shall stand? And nobody in here going to stand. But there's forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared, loved, worshipped, adored, trusted. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. And in his word do I hope. He promised. He promised it. All right, here's my second question. My first question was this. If that's you, aren't you glad salvation's by grace? Aren't you glad? And I'll tell you this. You sure don't want to go anywhere else and listen to salvation by what you do. If what you say is so, then you're not a candidate. And here's the second question. Do you think you're alone? When you talk about your weaknesses and infirmities and afflictions and failures, do you think you're alone? Do you think you're alone in your struggles with sin and with the old nature? Now, I know this is quite unfortunate. I know that religious books, especially biographies, and I just try to stay away from them because most of them are dishonest. Most of them are dishonest. Because as you read them, you're led to believe that these people about whom the author's writing, these religious leaders and preachers, are somewhat less than real. I mean, they never erred, they never failed, they never sinned, they never doubted. There's always praying, and always preaching, and always praising God, and always rejoicing, and always solid as a rock, and I don't find that to be true. It's just not so. And I'll tell you, there are a lot of preachers who like to give the impression that they're just pretty holy. Now, that's all there is to it. They're up there on the hallelujah side all the time, and I know that's a lie. I just know it's a lie. They don't tell the truth. The Word of God does. The Word of God, to encourage me and to help me and to keep me from despair and to keep me from depression and to reveal to me the unchangeable love of my Redeemer, tells the truth about his servants. This is a biography that tells the truth about people. The truth. And I've heard preachers say, well, these Old Testament people didn't have the Holy Spirit like we do. My soul, what in the world are you talking about? I wish I had the Holy Ghost like David had him. Don't you? How do you think Abraham knew God apart from the Spirit of revelation? Abraham's faith is revealed in the Word of God, but so are his failings. You catch Abraham one day, and he's a giant. You catch him the next day, and he's trying to look for a way out. Moses' meekness and humility and st- steadfastness, Moses stood before Pharaoh and demanded he let the people go. But he wouldn't stand before his wife to circumcise his son. It's exactly right. And God threatened to kill him. Is that right, Charlie? God threatened to kill him because he wouldn't stand up to that beautiful wife of his. And when he did circumcise his boy, she said, "You're a bloody man, but you are." They had a fuss over it. Here's a man, Moses, who could stand before an empire and couldn't take on his wife. I've known a lot of preachers that way. Elijah's courage and boldness are recorded, but Jezebel turned him around. David's devotion and consecration and strong are his strong points, devoted and dedicated to God. But David's sensuality and self-defense, are there for all to see. Job's patience is evident, but so is his self-righteousness. Solomon, think of his wisdom and think of his foolishness. And our master is not, he doesn't hesitate to rebuke Philip. He said, "Philip?" Philip said, "Show us the Father." He said, "If I've been this long with you and you don't know me," he didn't whisper those words. "You don't know me? So, Philip." And then Thomas, "I'm not going to believe unless I touch his scars in his hand and his side." "All right, Thomas, reach out of your hand." And then Peter, "Oh boy, get thee behind me, Satan." That's his choice man. And then the disciples, he stood there one day and said, "Oh, ye of little faith, you're not alone." I want you to hear John Newton. Listen to John Newton. I think this one of the most outstanding preachers that ever preached is John Newton. I think one of the most outstanding writers that ever put a pen to a piece of paper. And this is, and he's the author of Amazing Grace, the song. Listen to him. "Could my heart so hard remain, and prayer a task and a burden prove, and every trial give me pain, if I knew the Savior's love?" See, sounds like you and me, doesn't it? "When I turn my eyes within, all is dark and vain, vanity, and wow. I'm filled with unbelief and sin. Can I call myself God's child? If I pray, if I hear, if I read, sin is mixed with everything I do. You that love the Lord indeed, is that so with you? Do you have a problem with that?" And any honest believer will shake his head. Yeah. Is that right? Any honest? Now, hypocrite won't.
"Not me.
Happy all the time. Happy all the time. This little light of mine." Beware of a man that smiles all the time. He's hiding something. That's those television preachers. That's right. Listen, I found this poem. This is by Charlotte Elliott, who wrote "Just As I Am." Great hymn. I want you to listen to this. This, I love to get these heart cries I find at people that nobody pays attention to anymore. "O thou, the contrite sinner's friend, who loving, lovest to the end, on this alone my hope depends, that Christ will plead for me. When weary in this Christian race, far off appears my resting place, and fainting I doubt God's grace. O Savior, pray for me." They won't sing those songs, will they? "When I have erred and gone astray, far from the heavenly way, and I see no glimmering, guiding ray, O Savior, pray for me." Isn't that beautiful? But you can't get folks in the pulpit to be honest anymore. They're afraid somebody will think they're a sinner. Listen to Paul in Romans 7. I want you to read this while I read it. You read it to yourself. But this is God's great apostle. Oh, you can't preach like that preacher. You give somebody a license for sin. Would you rob the child of God of his hope and trust and rest in order to defend some pet doctrine? I'm going to feed his sheep. And his sheep will handle it all right. And I'm not his private secretary anyway. I believe God can handle his word. I believe he can. I believe those who are going to misuse it are going to misuse it anyway. And those who are going to love it, going to love it. Romans 7:15. That which I do, I know not. For what I would, that do I not. Verse 15. What I hate, that do I. That's talking about thoughts. Paul's not a carousing drunkard here now. He's talking about what goes on inside. He's talking about spiritual conflicts. If then I do that which I would not, I consent to the law. It's good. Now then, it's no more I that do it. It's sin that dwells in me. For I know that in this flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Do you know that? The will is present with me. How to perform that which is good, I don't find it in me. For the good, the God good, perfect, perfection that I would, I do not. But the evil that I wouldn't do and don't want to do and don't want to have going through my mind, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Verse 21, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. I delight in the law of God, the holiness of God, the perfection, the attributes, the character of God after the inward man. I delight in that. I'll be glad when I'm like him. But I see another law, another principle in my members, in my body, heart, mind, spirit, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Well, I've got a deliverer. But I'm not going to do it by my PMA, positive mental attitude. I'm not going to do it by my positive thinking. I'm not going to do it by resolutions like you died or something like that. I'll tell you how it's going to be done. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with this mind, I serve the law of God. With the flesh, the battle's going to go on. It's going to go on. And I'll tell you this. I read this one time. Mr. Spurgeon made this statement. Actually, now you think about this a little bit. It may be that when you, who truly love Christ now, who truly believe the Word of God, it may be that when you feel the least worthy and farthest from the Lord, because of your inward afflictions and conflict, you may be closer to the Lord right then than you've ever been, because He delights to show mercy. When I'm weak, then I'm strong. But, now wait a minute, but when you feel the most spiritual and victorious and holy, and like you've pretty well conquered all of your conflicts, you got it on the right road now, you just might be further from God than you've ever been. Because you're resting in what you did, not Him. That's right. I'll tell you this. Our Lord, as I go through the Word, I find Him responding to a cry of need. Like, who touched me? Like blind Bartimaeus. Like the thief on the cross. We are never accepted or approved by anything we do, say, feel, or give. We're accepted in the Beloved. So I say this to all of us. Mortify the flesh. Mortify the flesh. Put it down. Crucify the flesh. Kill it daily. Make no provisions for the flesh. Hate the flesh. But never trust the flesh. Is that good advice? Mortify the flesh. Crucify the flesh. Hate the flesh. Make no provisions for the flesh, but never trust it. Never trust it. I don't care You older men here, I don't care how old it gets either. Don't trust it. Don't trust it. Don't put any confidence in it. And for God's sake, don't praise the flesh. Because he'll work on you then. He's not going to share his glory. Now I want you to turn to Galatians 5, and I'm going to quit. But this is so important that I deal with this for a few minutes. Galatians 5. Now watch this. Galatians 5:1. So stand fast. You got a reason to stand. Therefore, in that freedom, that liberty. What liberty? He hath delivered us from sin, from its guilt, from its dominion, from its power, not from its indwelling presence. Unfortunately, it's still there and you know it. Still there and you know it. We've not been delivered from the temptation of it, but we've been delivered from the curse of it. We've been delivered from the power, from the penalty of sin. We've been delivered from the ceremonial law, from circumcision, Sabbath days, the burdensome rites and ceremonies. We've been delivered from all those things, from the curse of the law, from the condemnation of the law. We've been delivered from those. Christ has set us free. So stand fast in that freedom of Christ. Don't become entangled again. Don't become entangled in this thing. Well, Christ died, and I believe Christ, but. No, there's no but to it. Christ died. And that's the freedom we have. We're redeemed in him. He's our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. You stand in that. Wherever you are on the mountain or the valley, whether you're doubting or trusting, or if Christ is your Lord, he's your advocate, your mediator. You're accepted. What's the next? Behold, I, Paul, say, I tell you this, I warn you. If you're going to dabble with this thing of Sabbath days and circumcision and law, then Christ's not going to profit you anything. I said to my Sunday school class this morning, now you listen to me. I wouldn't offend anybody on purpose. But these things are true now. This is where we live. There's no such thing. It's an impossibility for a person to be a devoted and dedicated religionist, such as a Catholic, and be saved. It's an impossibility. Impossibility. You know why it's an impossibility? Because you cannot submit to the infallibility of the Pope and the infallibility of Christ too. You can't do it. You can't do it. It's an impossibility for you to have a vicar on earth and a vicarious redeemer in glory. It's impossible. It's impossible for you to count beads and count the cost of the cross. Can't do both now. Come on. No, sir. You say, well, you know, this cross I wear doesn't mean anything. Then why are you wearing it? That picture on the wall doesn't mean anything. Then why don't you burn it? Hail Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. That doesn't mean anything. Then why do you say it? You're scared not to. And that means you're not trusting Christ. If you trust in Christ, you're not scared of a Sabbath day. Why are you keeping that day? Just in case. You're lost. That's right. I'm telling you the truth. You can't compromise on the very character of the Redeemer. I'm telling you. Read that verse. Behold, verse 2. I, Paul, God's servant, chosen of God to take this gospel to the Gentiles, I say unto you, if you do anything religiously to be accepted of God, Christ profits you nothing. You ain't got Christ. Is that what he's saying? Nothing. You don't do it in order to be accepted. Whatever you do because you're accepted. And I go to church on Sunday because I want to go to heaven. You'll never get to heaven. Not if you're trying to gain that way by going to church. Because verse 3 said, I testify to you that if you start that direction, you're a debtor to keep the whole blooming law, every jot and tittle of it. You can't do it. It's either Christ or nothing. Now, I wish I could make that plain. I've tried and tried and tried to make that plain, and just somehow, folks, just it has to be revealed. I know that. But you're a debtor to do the whole law. There's no way that I can preach Sunday, the Christian Sabbath, and tell you don't cook now on this day and don't watch television and come to church and do these certain things. There's no way I can do that, because if we start that business, we got the whole law to keep. Don't walk but so far. Don't drive your car. There's no way I can preach tithing. 10% belongs to God. No man can preach that using the New Testament. He has to go back to the old Levitical law. He has to. I can't do that. Because I know if we start down that trail and this building these fine buildings and burning candles and wearing these uniforms, if we start that foolishness, we got a whole law to keep. And verse 4 said, then Christ becomes of no effect. We don't have a Christ. Christ is my Sabbath. Christ is my law. Christ is my life. Christ is my hope. Christ is my mediator. See that? And he's become of no effect. Whosoever you have justified by the law, you've departed from grace. But watch this now. But by his Spirit's regeneration, revelation, teaching, we anticipate and we wait for the fulfillment of that blessed hope of eternal glory and a perfect righteousness by faith. I believe. Abraham believed and was counted to him for righteousness. Old Simeon stood in that temple surrounded by all those, that veil and that ritual and that circumcision, that blood sacrifices and the Sabbath days and all these things. And they brought in Christ and he took him up in his arms. And he said, I'm ready to die now. I've seen the Lord's salvation. I've never been ready to die up till this time. I've never found any readiness to die in any of this. But I found it in him. I'm ready to die. And then the last verse. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything. It doesn't profit me in his sight to be circumcised or uncircumcised, to give a tithe or to give no tithe, keep a day or keep no day. I don't gain his favor or lose his favor by what I do. That's right now. I'm accepted in Christ. I gain God's favor by what Christ did. There are things that God's well pleased with in his children. And that's another story. Now, I'm talking about salvation now. I'm talking about acceptance with God. I'm talking about redemption. What God requires is a faith that worketh by love, a true heart of faith, which is evidenced by a love for Christ. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? We'll settle this whole issue if we can settle this right here. Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I'd like to be perfect, wouldn't you? But I'm not. But he is. And my hope's in him. I'd like to be without sin, wouldn't you? But I'm not. But he is. And I'm accepted in him. I'd like someday to be within the veil, in the very presence of God. I'm not. But thank God, he is. And if I'm in him, I'm as good as that. Because he'll not be in glory and leave me behind if I'm in him. Does that help? I hope that's helpful to many of you. I hope you'll maybe share it with somebody else. But as I said, I mean these things. I hadn't been talking this morning off the top of my head. I looked into these things, and I won't take back what I just preached. I believe it. And you play the tape. I say buy the tape and play it. And I'll certify you this. By the word of God, that salvation's for sinners in Christ. And I'll stand on that, Charlie.